and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship Monday Night Men and Women's Bible Study. We want to truly thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join us now as we begin our message.
Good evening. It's always good to be in the midst of worship, in the presence of God, experiencing that. Good choice of songs, Jenny. They're all good. And we know that God is good, and He is. His plans for us are so amazing. His desire for us to enter in a way that we would understand who He is. Because God's Word says to us that come to Him, all ye who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then He next says, learn of me. So that is what we're doing this evening. We want to learn more about Jesus and more about Him. So I do just want to go before the Lord one more time. And thank you for that prayer, Jenny. But I just need to go before Him and ask Him just to speak forth His word. Father God, You are amazing. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Father, You are the Lamb of God who took away our sin. We thank You, Father, for the sacrifice that You made on our behalf, Lord God, that we could have life in this earth and in the earth and in the world to come. We thank You for that, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that You would give us understanding through Your word. Father, that Your word would bear much fruit in Your people's lives, Lord God. Father, that You would have Your way this evening, Lord. Even though, Lord, I have notes here, Lord God, I want to be led by Your Spirit, Your Holy Spirit, Father. So, Lord, we pray, Father, that You would magnify Yourself and show how much love You have for Your women, and, Lord, how You desire for us to know You more. So, Holy Spirit, Thou art welcomed here in this house, in these temples that we have in our bodies. Fill us up to overflowing this night. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, I wanted just to, that our sister Pita, our dear sister Pita, she had a major back surgery, and we need to just keep her in prayer. She has had some visitors. She's out at the La Jolla Nursing and Rehabilitation Center in La Jolla. And if you'd like to get any information about that, Yolanda can give you the information. And I do have a Get Well card that everybody could sign for her this evening, and that'll be taken to her tomorrow. So just continue to pray for her and pray that the Lord would just rain down a miracle of healing. We know that God's hand is not too short, and He can do all things. And I just praise God because I look at this with spiritual eyes, you know, as to how the Lord prepared Bita for such a time as this. I mean, when we have adversity and affliction come upon us, I don't know how anybody can do it outside of Christ in us, but we are more than overcomers or more than conquerors in Christ, so we pray that Bita will. So why don't we just go before the Lord and pray for that? Father, we do just lift up our sister Bita, Lord. We thank You, Father, for how, Lord, You are at work in her and through her, Lord, how You have called her for such a time as this, how You filled her with the Holy Spirit, Lord God, how You have called her daughter, and she has called You Father. Lord, we just pray, Father, for just a miraculous healing touch, Lord God, that resurrection power just to fall upon her spine, Lord God. Lord, and I do pray, Father, that she would not even have to have any more back surgeries, Lord God. I pray, Father, that You just would rain down on her just a healing from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, and that she would return to us soon, Lord God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. So we're in chapter 16 of John. So let's go ahead and read that. I'm going to read probably half of this, and then in your groups you can read the other half, because I want to get into what the Lord was speaking to me about. And these things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble, that they will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think he offers God a service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. And these things I have told you, that when the time comes, that you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. And this also in verse 12, I still may have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you many things to come. He will glorify me, and he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. So as we look into the word here, we see that Jesus was preparing his disciples for his departure. Even though they didn't understand where he was going or what he was saying, he was warning them of impending persecution. He did not want them to stumble. He wanted them to be prepared of the things that were going to transpire after the crucifixion. We always have to remember that rejection of the world should not weaken us, but it should strengthen us. Our faith is usually strengthened in times of persecution. Jesus said, I will send him, he will send the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to come into each one of us. And he said these words. He said, it's to your advantage that I go away, that he would go to the Father and he would send the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to live in each one of them. And I'd like to take a closer look at the gift and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The disciples could not understand this advantage of what Jesus was about to do in his death, resurrection, and ascension into heaven. But we are recipients of this gift. We know in now that Jesus is ascended into the heavens. We know that at that time, the disciples couldn't understand the meaning of what this gift was or what this helper was. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is mentioned over 100 times in the Old Testament and then more than 250 times in the New. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit's ministry was temporary and task-specific. He was present at the creation in the beginning. In Genesis 1:2, the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters and revealed God's moral and ethical will on earth. He was active amongst God's people as a nation in Haggai 2:5, and as individuals in 1 Samuel 16:13. And he inspired the prophets of God to reveal God's word, and he would actually be present upon them. The Holy Spirit would come upon an individual, and he would speak his word either verbally or even the writing on the wall. He would speak to his prophets in such a way. The Holy Spirit would come upon individuals in power to accomplish tasks and purposes, but the Holy Spirit did not dwell permanently within people. It became clear and obvious that God's people were incapable of keeping God's law in their own strength. They needed, and we needed, supernatural help. There's nothing that we could do to attain a relationship with God on our own. That's why the tabernacle and all the offerings had to be made for the sin offering through the priests. There was always somebody else going before God for the people. And Jesus, as we read, and it's not in our study, but as I looked into the word, Jesus is the new covenant. In Luke 22:20, he says, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. And then in Hebrews 9:11, if we could go there, Hebrews 9:11, 11 through 15. Again, it was through the blood of Jesus that we now have access to the Father and how we now have access to the Holy Spirit. And again, that is in Hebrews 9, 11 through 15. But Christ came as high priest of good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not of the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of the heifer sprinkling the unclean sacrifices for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, through the eternal Spirit, offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? In other words, it's not about religious ceremony. It's not about what we might have been raised up as children. It's not religion that's going to save us. For this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. And again, this is through the blood of Christ that we have access, that we now have access to Christ Jesus, our Savior. And we are able to have this gift. The gift of the Holy Spirit changes everything and our ability to live a life pleasing to God. Jesus, the one who took our sin and was the Lamb of God, and now as believers in Christ Jesus, we have the indwelling Spirit of God in us, that helper. And he's called the helper. The scripture says he's called the helper. And a helper is not just the helper, but it's like, I was trying to look for the Hebrew word in that. And the Greek word, it says the helper is something that comes alongside you. But really, the Holy Spirit is something that comes in us. It literally, the Holy Spirit comes inside of us. This is a gift that Christ gave to us. That's why it was to our advantage that Christ went, and he went through the cross. He took our sin, and now we have access to the Holy Spirit. And now we have access to that new life in Christ Jesus, that we can become, we have the ability to live this Christian walk, this Christ-like. Because you know what Christian really means? It means Christ-like. We have the ability to have this Christ-like walk in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is here. It came to the world here. He came to the world here to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. A divine work is required to convince the sinful soul of the lack of righteousness and coming judgment. And I know that each of us have a testimony of how we came to the Lord before we... I know that God says, God, he sends people our way, and he sends people that might plant a seed in your life. And you know when you hear it? Because we are made in the image of God, we know that what they're speaking is truth. And a lot of times that truth, because the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, it'll go into our heart and it'll prick it, because our hearts are so hard. I know I wasn't mindful of the things of God before we become saved. God's word says that we don't even know our heart. A lot of times we think we're good people, but in actuality, the word of God says that we don't even know our own hearts, but God knows our hearts. And the Holy Spirit comes in an individual, and that individual may come to you and speak truth into your life, something that you may not want to receive, but truth is truth. God's word never comes back void. Truth is truth. And so I know I can testify for myself that I rejected that truth so many times. So God is gracious, isn't he? The Lord is merciful. He's faithful. And I had so many people, so many opportunities where I could have just humbled myself before the Lord rather than being prideful. But God is faithful. And so the Holy Spirit is here to convict man of that very thing, that there is sin. And you know what? I know that, I don't know if any of you, I know that I grew up feeling constantly guilty. I always had this guilt, and I always had this fear of death or dying and what was going to happen. I always was very fearful about death and what would happen after death. But God's word, he is alive. Christ came that we would have life and life abundantly, not only here on earth, but have eternal life in Christ. So I praise God for that he came to convict us of sin and of righteousness. And the righteousness that I kind of glean from this, it's not our righteousness, it's Christ's righteousness on us. You know, Christ's righteousness that's upon us. That is the righteousness of God. It's not anything that we can contrive or that we can do in our own flesh. It is Christ's righteousness. Let's take a look at that. That's in Romans 3, 21. And I love the fact that there's nothing that we can do in our flesh that makes us right before God. It's only the blood of Jesus and his righteousness that's upon us and covers us. We're covered in the righteousness of Christ. Romans 3:21. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. For God set forth his propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. Again, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So again, it is Jesus' righteousness. That is what's made us right with the Lord. His righteousness that's come upon us. And then he came to convict the world of judgment, because the ruler of this world is already judged. Satan knows that his time is short here on earth, and he has a strategy and a plan against the people of God, against the people of the world. He has a strategy, and we know that judgment is coming, but we, as people of God, are not appointed to judgment. We are appointed to an everlasting life. We are appointed to the grace that God's going to reveal to us in the heavenlies, and we don't know how we're going to look or how we're going to be, but we're going to look just like Jesus. So we know that that judgment, sometimes, you know, when we minister to people, and you'll know by the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God, he's in us, and he'll speak to our hearts and how we are to approach people when we want to witness to people. Sometimes they just need to hear a word of grace. Sometimes they need to hear just that word that God loves them. He came, he died for our sins, that we would have eternal life. He came for us because he loves us. And that's awesome. That's always the truth. But there's always those people that may need to hear, you know what? There is judgment, because our God is a just God. There is a time that's appointed to judgment, and that they need to fear a holy God. Our God is holy. He is good, and he's a just God. And we can look back in the book of Revelations, chapter 21, and we will see how that judgment's going to look. You know, there's not just the death of an individual that comes, but there's actually two deaths. There's the death of the body, and then there's the death of the spirit. And I'm sorry, my Bible is all. I wish I could have typed this all up for you guys, but. This thing is, I can barely reach it. Okay. It is in chapters 21. Okay. All right. But there shall by no means, and like, I'm looking at 21:27. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination. And this is entering into heaven. Or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I wanted to get to, oh, here it is. Revelation 21:8. And it says, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So this is a judgment. This is a judgment that will bring the second death. Only those who are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will receive. If they're not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they will have that second death. So we know these things, believers. Sisters, we know this. And because we know this, we ought to speak truth to our loved ones. We ought to speak. The love of God should compel us to not want them to go there, to not want to experience that second death. Because of the things that we know, it should cause us to want to pray hard. And you know what? God is so good because, you know, the Holy Spirit is a gift that's given to us. And it's a gift that gives us, Jesus also said in this study that he has overcome the world. He tells us to be of good cheer. And we should be. We should be of good cheer, joyfully knowing that Jesus has overcome the world, and we also have the ability in Christ to overcome all things. And I know that in times of affliction, it's hard to have to be of good cheer. But you know what? That cheer that you have in your heart, even in times of affliction, it turns to peace. If you have the peace of God in the midst of affliction, oh, man, that's a joyful place to be. Even though you may not be joy-filled, yeah, I'm really happy about all that's happening to me in my life right now, you have peace. And that peace is something that we need to be acknowledge that. You know, we thank God, thank you, Jesus, that we have the ability to overcome all things. The Holy Spirit is such an amazing manifestation that he gives us the ability to have victory in our lives. He's our comforter. He's our peace. He's our counselor. And also, he gives us the ability to have a transformation in our life. He gives us the ability. The fruit of the Spirit is part of the Holy Spirit's working, to be able to have the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the long-suffering, the self-control. I mean, how many of us had no self-control before we were in Christ? We become transformed and to look more like Christ. That's what Jesus would have for us. He wants us to live and to walk in the Spirit of God. He gives us gifts. He gives us amazing gifts in the Holy Spirit. Jenny was talking a little bit about that. He gives us the ability to have anointed gifts. You may have the gift of hospitality. You may have the gift of helps. You may have the gift of administration. You may have the gift of, well, I'm going to say worship, song. You may have the gift of faith. Because I believe that, like, in worship, you have to have faith to know that you're singing to an awesome, almighty God. So that's a gift of faith, even when you're able to have worship. When you're worshiping to the King of Kings, you may have the gifts of healings. You may have, there's so many gifts. So I would encourage you women to seek out the Lord for those gifts that the Holy Spirit wants to impart upon you, or you may be already walking in them. Because you know what? Those gifts are not just for you. They're for the body of Christ, to be edified, to be comforted. The working of the Holy Spirit is the manifestation of what God would have for his body of Christ, that every joint, every person working together, building up one body. Jesus is the head of the church, but we're like the arms, we're the feet, we're the fingers. But you know, I would just encourage you to inquire of the Lord as to what gift he would have for you, because it's a beautiful thing and it's also could be a scary thing to walk in that gift. But we know that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but what? Love, power, and a sound mind. He gives us the ability to walk in that gift. So I would encourage you ladies to just seek him out. Not to just seek out the gifts. But you know what the best thing about the Holy Spirit is? It came with power. In the book of Acts, it talks about when the Holy Spirit, the day of Pentecost came, the Holy Spirit came to indwell the people. And Jesus even said that, in his word, and I have it all in here, but I could barely see up here. He says that the works that he does, that he was telling his disciples, you will do also. Even greater works than these will you do. And I really believe the greater work is, not that we could do any greater thing than what Christ did, but I think the greater work is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit for the gospel to go out to the world. While Jesus walked here on earth, he ministered to his disciples. They all got it. After the resurrection and the Holy Spirit, they had more understanding come upon them. But they also were scattered abroad, and the gospel was spread throughout the world. It's still being spread throughout the world. So I believe the greatest gift that we have is the ability to share Christ with others. That's an amazing gift that God gives us, and that is his purpose, that we, because he doesn't want anybody to die without the knowledge of him. He wants all to come to the salvation that's in Christ Jesus. He gives everyone the opportunity to say yes. And I really wanted to end with this, and that's the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's also called the promise. The Holy Spirit, another name is the promise, and that's in Acts 2. You can take a look at that. Acts 2, 38. Again, this was after the this was after Pentecost. In verse 38, then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And I think that's amazing, is that that's a promise that we can pray. That's a promise that we can pray to the Lord. If we have family members that are unsaved, or even friends and people that you know in your world that aren't saved, we can take a look at the scripture and say, "God, I pray that you fulfill your promise. Fulfill the promise in my family, that they too would have the Holy Spirit to have victory in their life." And the only way that any of them can have the Holy Spirit is belief in Christ Jesus. Faith in Christ Jesus, as we accept Christ into our life, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us, gives us the ability to have victory in every aspect of our life. And that everything that we need to know that pertains to life and godliness is in the Word of God. God will speak his truth. And you know I'm up here speaking God's Word, but you know, God's Word says that you don't even need a teacher. You got the Holy Spirit in you. That is your teacher. But it's good that we come together and build one another up and get edified and strengthened, because we shouldn't forsake the gathering of the brethren as well. So if you're praying for your family members, or you know, you ask the Lord, you know, just, "Father, I pray, Lord God, that you would save my family. I'm gonna claim that promise for my children and for my children's children, as many as afar off, my friends. Lord, I pray that you save my family, save my friends." And the Lord is so awesome and good. He will hear. He always hears our prayers. He always hears our prayers. So, again, I wanted to just end with this last scripture, and that's in that's also in Acts 2. And this was when, I'm going to take a look at Acts 1, 8. And this is before the Holy Spirit came. And Jesus said, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and to all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And that is the working of the Holy Spirit. This is God's perfect will for us, is that with the Holy Spirit, with what we've been given, we would have a heart and a desire to share that with others. With others, that they too would have salvation in Christ, that they too would have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And there's so many different aspects of the Holy Spirit in the way of gifts as well, the speaking of tongues, the interpretation of those tongues, the prophetic word. There's so much. I mean, that's a whole nother in-depth study. So I encourage you to learn and let's seek out the Lord, because you know the Holy Spirit is part of the triune God. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but yet they are all one. I remember I could never put my mind around that. I mean, not that we could ever figure God out, or we could never even try to attain that, but I remember one of my pastor at the time said, you know, that the nature of God is in creation itself. Like, we can look at different parts of creation, and we could see that they're made in threes. We can look at water itself. You can see how water is, it's H2O. It's a liquid form. It's a vapor form. And it also could be a solid form. but you can melt them all together and they're still one. So you can look at these things, and you, even our bodies, we're body, mind, soul. You know, where you could look at the way that we're even created and see the nature of who God is in creation itself. Amen? So, Father, we just come before you, Lord God, and just thank you for this evening. We thank you for your truth, and Lord, how you encouraged us to be of good cheer because you have overcome the world. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us to overcome our world, Lord God, that you would fill us up afresh with your Holy Spirit. Lord, we wanna be like you, Jesus. We wanna do those works and even greater works, Lord God. Give us the ability, Father, ignite the fire within us that we would speak to those who are lost, Lord God. And we do pray that that promise that you said would be for our children, Lord. We lift up all our children and our family, Lord God, and we pray for their salvation, Lord, that they too would know you in spirit and in truth, that they too would have the Holy Spirit to give them victory. And right now you may be listening to this on the internet or on the radio, whatever it is. I just ask you to inquire of the Lord yourself, and I would ask that you, if you heard these words and they minister to your heart or they pricked your heart with the knowledge of knowing that what was spoken was true, that you too can have salvation in Christ Jesus. And I would ask that you would just repeat these words, and these words aren't going to save you. It's with the heart that one believes, so it's the heart issue. So I would just say, ask you to say, Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. I ask you to forgive my sin. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner and I repent. I want to know you more. And I pray that you would come into my life and that you, Father, would do a new thing in my heart, that you would fix me and where I need to be fixed, that you would help me, that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I would know you and love you as Lord and Savior. So I ask you now to come into me and fill me and indwell me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All righty, ladies.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com. Or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.